Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
Hey everybody, we are back. Thank you for listening, watching, live, not live, Davin's Den. We're, we talked Joe and a Nation off the couch. We helped Pip stay awake a little longer. We try to save Joe's December. We've done a lot of things, and we have a lot more to do. It's been a fun show, a fun ride. So let's start about Juneteenth. Juneteenth, again, for those who do not know, is the day, usually celebrated on June 19th, when the last slaves after the Civil War were emancipated, and that happened in Texas. Little known to me, it's been a holiday for years. It's celebrated in Texas, and African Americans apparently knew about it, but I was unaware of it until recently. But now we have a movement afoot. So here we go. Pair Republican senators have proposed replacing Columbus Day on the federal government list of official holidays with Juneteenth. Senator James Lankford, a Republican of Oklahoma, and Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin made the proposal Wednesday as an amendment to a bill sponsored by Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, that would recognize Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Johnson objected to adding another day of holiday pay to the federal calendar and viewed eliminating Columbus Day as a fair compromise. In response to a bipartisan effort to give federal workers another day of paid leave by designating Juneteenth a federal holiday, we have offered a counterproposal that does not put us further in debt, Johnson said in a statement Wednesday. We support celebrating emancipation with a federal holiday, but believe we should eliminate our current holiday in exchange. We chose Columbus Day as a holiday that is lightly celebrated and least disruptive to American schedules, he continued. Speaking to The Hill, a Wisconsin Republican and major budget hawk said he was open to choosing another holiday to replace with Juneteenth. I'm just saying let's replace it with something. I chose Columbus Day just because it's probably the most lightly celebrated and less disruptive to anybody's schedule to cut from the federal holiday calendar. Johnson added that he was talking to some of his colleagues about an alternate bill. Cornyn offered his bill in mid-June with Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and has since put it in the hotline, meaning he is working to move the bill to the floor soon, and it will ask you what you're wearing, and pass it by unanimous consent or voice vote. No? Okay. He called Johnson and Lankford's amendment problematic, arguing that cutting out Columbus Day dilutes the message we're trying to send, which is one of being respectful and honoring and remembering our history. We're working through all these things right now. We just don't have an answer right this second, added the Texas Republican who's facing re-election this November. Juneteenth is one of America's oldest holidays and is observed each year on June 19th to mark the official end of slavery in the U.S. The day which gets its name from combining June and 19th. That's long been, well, they're very creative. as opposed to Emancipation Day.
Yeah, not really good.
Let's go with June.
Yeah, if we had to have that explained to us, that's sad.
Yeah. Has long been celebrated by black Americans as a symbol of their long-awaited emancipation. Columbus Day celebrates Christopher Columbus as the Italian explorer who is credited as the first European to discover the African continent. Making Juneteenth a holiday at the expense of eliminating Columbus Day was one of our poll questions this week. We always put that on Instagram, on the Davin's Den Instagram page and the Davin's Facebook page, and it was unanimous. People were like, sink the Columbus Day, let's go with Juneteenth. Listen, man, in my opinion, there's not even a question. Juneteenth should be a national holiday. Now that I know about it, because again, was not taught in school. Way to go, me. Juneteenth should definitely be a holiday. Any disagreement?
But not at the expense of Columbus Day. You know, you got to understand something. Basically, to a contingent of people, Juneteenth is a very important day in an area that it, you know, Texas in that area where it's been a very main thing. You know, the rest of the country, we didn't realize it. Up here, there's a, you know, in a large Italian contingent, Columbus Day means a lot to Italians.
But isn't that really what it is? Aren't we really just stroking Italians? Isn't that really? I mean, we don't have any other national holidays for like any other ethnicity. I mean, even St. Patrick's Day isn't a national holiday, and we just celebrate them being drunken messes. I mean, you have the you don't have Yay Jew Day or the end of World War II when like when the Jews were freed from the concentration. Is it really just Columbus Day at this point, stroking Italians, which happen to be in the Northeast where we live?
Yes, it is. And that day means a lot to the us Italians. Yeah, it does.
But here's the thing. It shouldn't. I understand why it means something to Italians, but it really shouldn't mean anything to Americans, because it's not like a nation was formed. He got fucking lost. He was looking for a shortcut for spices. It's like if my GPS failed and I bumped into somebody's abandoned house. I don't get to say I discovered the house. Nay, the house was there. America was here, and Leif Erikson was here before Columbus was. So, I mean, listen, here's my argument. Juneteenth should be a national holiday. If we're going to get rid of something, I think it should be Columbus Day. That being said, you know what? You guys aren't really budget hawks. You guys were like $5 trillion in debt before COVID-19. So don't give me your budget. God forbid you give people another paid holiday. We're like, our people work so hard. Americans work so hard. We have such a poor quality of life compared to other Western industrialized nations. We don't know how to enjoy life. Most of us don't take our vacation days, especially now with what's going on COVID-19. Everybody's home, but you don't take your vacation days, Joe. You have to be forced at gunpoint to take them. You know, and most Americans...
Yeah, I was.
What?
Yeah, I was.
Right.
I had to take my vacation day. I mean, I have 1 week left, but I had to take my vacation.
But that's what it is. So it's like, oh, we can't have another federal holiday. You know, enough with that. And honestly, if we're going to talk about anything that should be a federal holiday, whether it be Columbus Day, Juneteenth, I got a third one, which I've argued before on this show, make Election Day a federal holiday. I know it's in vogue over the past several years to suppress the vote, which tells me if you need to suppress the vote, your message sucks. Get a better message.
Yes. Yeah.
But really, other first world nations, they make it a national holiday so people can go out and execute a right that we all have is very important. That's what makes the democracy go around. So if it has to be one thing, make it Election Day. I can't tell. I mean, we've been doing this show for years, and I've asked you guys if you guys voted, and very often it's like, no, I had to work. It should never be that. You should be able to go and vote, and, you know, if there's no work, so what? So what? You have a day off.
No, you're allowed to take time to vote.
Well, what the hell was I looking for?
Not everybody. Not everybody can do that.
Yeah, I mean...
I've always thought that it's absurd that we don't have Election Day as one of our national holidays. But, if we're going to have to choose, I mean, I definitely am on board with that Juneteenth is an important holiday. It's not just for Black people, you know, it's something that was a major step for us as a country. Now, I've always thought it was odd, and no disrespect to Italians, but I've always thought it was odd that Columbus Day was one of our major holidays, because I'm not rethinking it. I thought this a long time ago, that he discovered a country where people were already living. So did he really discover it?
Yeah, but were they really living? Were they really? I mean, were they really happy, Pip? I mean, wasn't it once the white man came, things picked up?
Yeah, but the pander to...
They were until Europeans showed up, yeah.
But if you want to have Juneteenth as a national holiday, that's fine. But then don't go to another nationality and take away their holiday and go, well, that's the way it is. No, Columbus Day, Columbus was an explorer that, yes, he had to check his past. A lot of them did, okay? But he did discover, he did discover America, and Italians have embraced that. It's part of an Italian heritage. It's a part of Italian pride. So don't turn around and go, well, these people that celebrate Juneteenth have pride and want to celebrate that, but you other people, fuck you.
Well, that's the argument. That's the argument against taking away about having to do the trade. So you like the initial idea of just adding another holiday.
If you want to make Juneteenth 17th a holiday, fine, but don't make it the expense of the Italians.
That's fine.
The Italians contributed to this country just as much as the African Americans have.
No.
Well,
to be fair, black
federal holidays, and we have Election Day off.
Yeah, I mean, we should have Election Day off.
But Election Day, I want the day after the Super Bowl off.
All right. So we imagined if Juneteenth was a federal holiday, because, you know, and every time there's a holiday, you always get these cheesy commercials from these companies. So we kind of jumped the gun and came up with our own commercials, so to speak. Right, Pip?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You had that concerned look like this was the first you were hearing this.
No.
Okay. Why don't you give us one of yours, Pip? Give us one of your Juneteenth commercials.
It's time for our new annual Juneteenth white sale. Save big on sheets, pillow. What? I'm in the middle of an ad. What? Oh. Not sheets. What about pattern sheets? Okay, we're going to have to come back to you on this one.
Look at those acting jobs. Look at those community theater acting jobs by our very own Pip Helix. That was impressive there. You are a tribute to the small towns and small theaters you have played across Bergen County and Passaic County and various counties in New Jersey, my dear. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Joe, why don't you give us a commercial?
Well, where others fail, we're not afraid. We're going to have our white sale. It's the Juneteenth white sale. Yes, it's ironic, but don't be a slave to high prices. Lots of sleeping pillowcases, stands, seats, well, for sleeping, that is. And, of course, so come on down. It's going to be a riot.
All right. Here's my first one. Do you feel tired? Have you gotten flabby? Well, come to Retro Fitness, and we'll whip you into shape. Don't be a slave to your routine. Right now, Retro Fitness is having their Juneteenth sale. You'll only pay $5 a month for membership. That's right, only one Abraham Lincoln a month. Now is the time to break the chains of the same old, and run to the freedom of a new body and a new life.
Oh, God.
Pip, why don't you give us your final commercial?
It's Juneteenth, and it's time to remember the anniversary of freedom for the slaves. And Sears, in the spirit of the celebration of freedom, wants to celebrate by giving everything away free. Yes, free toasters, free tools, free appliances, free clothes, free jewelry. Come on down to the few stores we have left and rip the place apart. Take everything down to the racks. Please, we need the insurance money.
Yeah, I thought that was adorable that you thought Sears was still going to be a thing in the future. All right, Joe, why don't you give us your final commercial?
Come to Shopwell and celebrate Juneteenth closeout savings on the following items. Aunt Jemima pancakes and syrup, 50% off, because Mama's little baby likes savings, savings. Mama's little baby wants to save some bread on pancakes today only. Then head on over to some frozen the food section on cool savings on Eskimo pie. We didn't even try it. We didn't even know why it's got to go, but some days these people have to be upset. Their outrage means you're saving. At Shopwell, making high prices say uncle. And while we're at it, we're saying goodbye to Uncle Ben's Rice. Big closeout prices today only. And the sale is not just on your aunt and uncle, but their friends as well. All Mrs. Butterworth syrups got to go today. And speaking of butter, reach for the bar without the squaws. All new Land O'Lakes butter is on sale. And watch as we cream the competition with closeouts on cream of wheat. So come on out to Shopwell in the former Columbus Shopping Center and get woke to savings.
Wow.
Get woke to savings.
Get woke. Wow, that was quite impressive. Quite impressive. All right, here's my final commercial. Are you stuck in a bad marriage? Do you feel trapped with no way to escape? Grant and Lincoln Attorneys at Law.
Oh,
sorry.
Grant and Retro moment for Joe.
Sorry, I got triggered.
Funny. I'm going to start this again. Are you stuck in a bad marriage? Do you feel trapped with no way to escape? Grant and Lincoln Attorneys of Law have been getting people out of a bad or abusive relationship for over 150 years. We understand not every dispute can be civil. That's why this Juneteenth, Grant and Lincoln are running a special. If we can't get you the divorce settlement you expected, we'll give you 40 acres and a mule. Your emancipation is the most important thing to Grant and Lincoln. Our retainer isn't free, but you'll be.
Nice. Oh, no, I'm frozen.
Yes. I'm like, wow, Pip's not reacting to this at all. But Pip's just frozen. All right. Very well done, guys. Very well done. We've certainly helped capitalize on Juneteenth. Moving right along. The Simpsons.
I hate to interrupt. You read the story. I have to step away for a moment as one of my computers are about to die. I got to plug some power into it. So I'll continue in a moment. Go. Lead on, Macbeth.
Pip's freezing. Joe's computers are dying. What a shit show.
I know. What's going on here?
I don't know. All right. The Simpsons will no longer use white actors to voice non-white actors, according to the show's producers. Moving forward, The Simpsons will no longer have white actors voice non-white actors, Fox spokesman Les Eisner said in a statement Friday. Over the 3 decades since the animated sitcom began, it has used white actors to play a number of non-white characters, including Harry Shearer as Dr. Julius Hibbert and Hank Azaria as Apu. In January, Azaria announced he would stop voicing Apu after 30 years playing the thickly accented Indian character. Azaria is not South Asian. All we know is I won't be doing the voice anymore unless there's some way to transition it or something, Azaria said, according to Film, an industry's news blog that reported it had asked the actor about the matter. The decision to remove Azaria from voicing Apu was mutual. The actor said, according to Film, we all agreed on it. We all feel like it's the right thing and good about it. The comedian Harry Kondobolu, whose 2017 documentary The Problem with Apu thrust controversy over the character into the mainstream, reacted on Twitter saying that he hoped The Simpsons kept Apu and lets a very talented writing staff do something interesting with him. My documentary, The Problem with Apu, was not made to get rid of a dated character, but to discuss race, representation, and my community, which I love very much, Kondobolu wrote. It was also about how you can love something like The Simpsons and still be critical about aspects of it, Apu. In his documentary, Kondobolu interviewed celebrities of South Asian descent, including Aziz Ansari and Cal Penn, to discuss how characterizations like Apu can be viewed as racist. The show responded in April 2018 episode to the backlash over Apu, who runs the Quickie Mart convenience store and TV's longest-running primetime scripted series. In the episode, the young Lisa Simpson said something like that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do? Lisa then glanced at a framed photograph of Apu inscribed with the message, "Don't have a cow." Azaria later that month told the host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert that he'd be happy to step aside from Apu and disagree with how the show handled the criticism. The idea that anybody young or old, past or present, was bullied or teased based on the character of Apu, it just really makes me sad, said Azaria, whose voice other characters on the show. It was certainly not my intention. I wanted to spread laughter and joy with this character, and the idea that it brought pain and suffering in any way, that it was used to marginalize people, it's upsetting. So I guess, and also the Family Guy said, I don't remember the actor's name, but there was a white guy voicing Cleveland, who's a black guy on Family Guy, will no longer be voiced by a white guy. I guess it goes to, you know, I never really thought about it before. I mean, if I'm doing these shows, I want the people I'm hiring to be able to do as many voices as possible so I could save money. So I never really thought about, you know, is the guy playing a Jewish guy Jewish? Is the guy playing a black guy black? Do you have to be the color or the ethnicity of the person you're playing in a cartoon?
You can be anything you want. It's farce. It's entertainment. It's farce. It's not a documentary. It's a cartoon.
I just don't think that this... I think this is sort of run amok now, and that, you know, I understand that there's a whole movement in Hollywood to have, you know, people who are, you know, the ethnic group that they're portraying, that have to have those people, those actors actually in those positions, but it's kind of ridiculous when we're talking about cartoons. Now, if somebody's being teased about Apu, that's the way the character is written. It has nothing to do with who's doing the voicing. I mean, are we supposed to go back and find a talking rabbit to be Bugs Bunny? This is getting a little weird to me. I mean, I don't understand why voice actors have to be if it's a human that they're voicing for cartoons.
Well, here's the argument.
That they have to be the ethnicity of the portrayal.
Here's the argument. Society has evolved. We used to have men play women characters and men, white people play black characters and put them in blackface. We have evolved where we no longer do that now. That's the argument. We've evolved. There's plenty of South Asian actors, comedians who you can use to write that character. And maybe if they're voicing the character, they can make it more realistic as opposed to a stereotype. Because let's be honest about it. I mean, I never thought about it until the documentary came out. But Apu is a stereotype.
Of course he is.
Right.
Yeah, you haven't noticed that. But walking to any 7-Eleven, you're going to see an Apu.
Right, but the problem with it is, people use it to bully kids. Other kids bullied kids with that. Red Dot Special, all that shit. Stuff we never thought about growing up, but then you look at it from where we are now and as adults go, I could see that. Maybe we can make it less shitty. And does it really cost us anything? Does it cost us anything to make our voice actors more inclusive and to give South Asians the opportunity to play South Asian characters and black people the opportunity to play black characters and Asian people the opportunity to play Asian characters? I don't think it really costs us anything. So if it makes people happy, I'm okay with it, I guess. And apparently that's where the industry's going now anyway. Apparently that's, these are older shows. So they were Family Guy, Simpsons 30 years old. We didn't think like that 30 years ago. Family Guy's like 15 years or something like that. We've evolved. Now, from what I understand, if they're looking for somebody to play a black cartoon character, they're going to get a black actor. That's just the way the industry has evolved. So for me, if we're going forward, I would go forward and go, let's get the ethnicity or the religion or whatever to play this character. If it happens to be Jewish, which is also an ethnicity. But I would not remove people if they were grandfathered in. But Azaria is willing to step aside, and so is the one who plays Cleveland. So I'm not going to get upset. Now, if Azaria was like, no, I don't want this to happen, it's costing me my livelihood, then I go, you know what? The guy's been doing it for 30 years. Let him play the character.
Azaria's got millions.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. He's fine with it. So if Azaria is fine with it, and the industry's moving that way anyway, then okay. Okay, have a South Asian play Apu. A South Asian could probably add more dimensions. Just having somebody of that ethnicity in the room would probably add layers to Apu. And the Simpsons have always been very good at making all the periphery characters have layers and make you care about the periphery characters. They would get their own episode and everything. So I would think it would just make Apu even more that realistic in a farcical way, if you want.
Yeah, I just think it's very strange that, they can hire who they want going forward. It's just really strange to take away, these two particular actors don't mind. So I guess it's like much ado about nothing. But it is a strange reaction to say, okay, now you two have been doing it for all these years, leave. I don't think that it's because of who the voice actors are that, if kids are being teased in school, that's the writing. If the voice actor is not making it up as they go, it's a cartoon, it's drawn, it's written. So if kids are being teased, it's the character of Apu, not who's voicing it. So that seems like a non-starter.
Listen, if you were going to write Apu today, you probably wouldn't put him in a convenience store. Apu would probably be like a lawyer. Because it's a different time. But at the time, of course, where are we going to put the Indian guy? He's either going to be in the gas station or he's going to be in the convenience store. Now you go, listen, I have an Indian guy. I'm going to make him a doctor. Because we've just evolved. I don't think it's being woke or anything. We're just like, oh, yeah, that was kind of simplistic. That was really the easy way to get the laugh. So And like I said, these actors are not upset by it. It seems to be where the industry's going anyway. It kind of makes sense. you know, you probably have a better show if you have people from all different, like anything, honestly. If you have people from all different backgrounds start making the soup, you probably have a better soup, as opposed to all white people or all black people or all Indian people. You know, if it was an Indian right. person playing a white person, you know, it'd probably help if you had a white person in the room.
I think it stifles creativity, to tell you the truth. If everybody's going to be, has to watch and wonder what they say and who they're going to hire, you know, where an actor would be doing the best job but doesn't get the job.
Right, no, but we're not talking about getting some random Indian guy off the street. We're talking about other Indians. You know, Aziz Ansari is very established.
But if you feel that the actor is not doing the job, but you have to hire him because he can't get another guy in that ethnicity.
Listen.
Guy that does the voice and the characterizations and the acting is fantastic. It's kind of like, you know, it's sort of like, excuse me. It's sort of like censorship, you know?
Listen, if you go through six South Asian guys, and you know, and they can't get the episode, they can't get it right, all right, you bring Hank in. But what they're saying is, we didn't even try. We didn't even try a South
right.
Asian actor. Listen, if Hank Azari does the best version of it, is the only one that could do it, all right, you got to give it back to Hank. A show's a show. The show must go on.
But it's like even with our project, you know, Adult Joe Curry. Is that going to be me? No, because I'm not enough me to be me, you know?
but to be fair,
you know?
To be fair, when we were writing it, Chip and I started introducing people from different ethnicities. Originally, you know, it was based on Joe, and Joe's life is mostly white people. This part of Joe's life that we were talking about is mostly white people. But thinking about it, I go, you know what, that's not really a reflection of the world we live in. Plus, it'll probably help us sell it more if we have people from different ethnicities and make it more inclusive. And honestly, if you're looking at the writing thing, say we brought these actors in, it would probably make us write for them better. Because, you know, like one of the characters we have is the radio manager, the station manager. Originally, it was a white woman. You know what? We made her a Latina woman. Yeah, that's what we did. You know, right now she's Puerto Rican, but she stays Puerto Rican.
Yeah, right, and you know, and like I said, it wasn't something that was going to diminish the character.
No, I think it'll actually enhance the character. You know, once we get these actors in there, because then they could go to us, go, listen, you know, as a Latina woman, I really wouldn't say that. Here's the way I would say it. I think it's going to make us better. So that's what I'm saying. I think The Simpsons could just get better by having brown people in there. I think, your gut is low, they're stifling, but how could they? It's been 30 years, but then if you look at it, go, you know what? Azari's good with it. Hank's good with it. He's got plenty of other voices to do.
He's got plenty of other money, too.
Right, right. I think it's good, man. I you know what? Bring in is much better. Listen, I look forward to when Flush gets going, and we have a writing team, and it's not just you, me, and Chip, three middle-aged or older white guys, and say we got some women in there, and some people of color in there, and maybe some gay people or whatever our writing team it becomes, I think we're just going to get better. Because right now, it's real easy to write for Joe, because Joe's Joe. And there's other characters that are easier to write for, because they're based on people. But then there's some characters that we just made up for the show, and I think we did a good job, but I don't really know.
I think one key breakthrough that was made with this is that you just called yourself middle-aged.
I'm middle-aged. If I live to 90, I'm middle-aged.
They wouldn't say that at gunpoint.
I wasn't middle-aged. A couple years ago, I wasn't middle-aged. Now I'm middle-aged, you know.
All of a sudden this year, they changed.
I'm 45. I mean, you know, when I started this shit, I was young. Not anymore. Now, I tend to hang out with people that are older than me. That's why you guys are here. You know, it boosts the morale.
but that's like when you get...
Notice that shot.
You know, it's like when you get the AARP card, you open up, fuck you. Ooh, 20% off. Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not there yet, you geezers.
I'm old. I'll take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. 20% off, yeah. Call me Methuselah.
All right, so I'm cool with it. I'm cool with them doing it, which I kind of came around to. You, Joe, you're not cool with it?
I think it's pandering.
What do you think?
It's pandering.
I'm not completely on board because they're cartoons. And, you know, they're they're drawings of people. They're not the people. But, I mean, going forward, if they want to start hiring people in that ethnicity, okay. You know, I mean, I'm totally on board with live-action actors being of the ethnicity of the character they're playing, but I don't see the necessity for cartoons to be. But, you know, maybe that I need to catch up. I don't know.
Here's another take on it. Let's talk about Apu. If they turned around and said, look, we're going to write Apu off the show because at this juncture we feel that maybe it's a little derogatory towards, you know, people from that area. And I would say, all right, well, if that's the way they feel, you know, but to say, well, we're going to get a genuine voice for that so we can feel good about ourselves, that's bullshit.
I got to be honest, but I watch every episode of The Simpsons. There have not been a bunch of Apu episodes over the past couple of years. Since that documentary came out, Apu has been featured a lot less.
But if that's their business, that's fine. We don't want to feature the character as much. You know, we feel it's derogatory to, you know, to people. But to say we're going to keep him, but we're going to use a guy of that ethnicity to do the character, you know... I think it's pandering. If you feel it's offensive to the Pakistani people that don't have the character at all anymore.
I think if they bring in some people of color, I think it'll make the writing better. I mean, I love The Simpsons, but I think it's gotten stale. I watch The Simpsons at this point because it's The Simpsons. If it was a brand new show of the caliber, I mean, once in a while they hit it out of the park and it's a great show. This is just my opinion. But, you know, episode after episode every season, it could be freshened up a little bit. There's more interesting cartoons out there. But all right.
That show has been on 30 years.
I know.
I can't believe that.
I was in the 7th grade, I believe. And I remember when it came out on the Tracy Ullman show. And I remember when people were wearing a Bartman shirts and don't have a cow. Yeah, man. So I've grown up with The Simpsons. I've gone from a youngster to middle-aged with The Simpsons. Anyway.
Yes.
Wow.
All right.
Crazy.
So now the next story, I'm going to play the audio. So if you're watching on Zoom, on Davin's and Facebook Live, I made it as loud as I can. I don't know if you're going to hear it. Joe and Pip should be well-versed in the story, so there should be no issue for them. But on the audio version, this will sound loud and clear, I hope.
Joins us now live in Springfield with more. Audrey?
Clarissa Fuentes was recently promoted to detective within Springfield's Special Victims Unit. She says following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, she recognized there was a problem in policing. After her Instagram post caught the attention of both the Springfield Police Commissioner and the mayor, she says a problem turned into a chasm.
Racism is alive, and until people start taking action, things won't change. I feel like no matter what position I took, I wasn't going to win.
Clarissa Fuentes says she wanted to show support for her niece, who attended a Black Lives Matter protest in Atlanta in the wake of George Floyd's police-involved death. At the end of May, Fuentes, a Springfield police detective, shared from her personal Instagram account a photo of her niece at the protest. Her niece's sign said, "Shoot the F back." And another person in the picture held a sign saying, "Who do we call when the murderer wear the badge?" Fuentes says it wasn't long before her co-workers reacted negatively, and supervisors, along with Police Commissioner Cheryl Claprud, called her in.
Said, you know, "I don't want to fire you. There's a lot of people here that are upset regarding your post, and you need to fix this."
Fuentes removed the post and later wrote an apology to her colleagues on the police union's Facebook page. However, Fuentes removed that post, too, over some comments she viewed as threatening.
Some people told me I didn't deserve to wear a badge. Others told me I stabbed them in their backs.
Fuentes says she continued to report to work and was called in again by the department's internal investigation unit, learning her post had made its way up the city chain of command.
The mayor's office is highly upset that it doesn't look good for me.
On June 19th, Fuentes says she was called by the union president, Joseph Gentile, with a choice: resign or get fired. She says after speaking with the union attorney, she went back to Joe and chose termination.
Joe told me that I didn't have the right to appeal because I'm on probation, even though I pay union dues.
Western Mass News has reached out to Commissioner Claprud, who said, quote, This was Ms. Fuentes' second infraction during her probationary period. Complaints about her social media post came from coworkers who were hurt by it and questioned her stance on the quote that advocated shooting police officers. It was my decision to terminate her employment. We also reached out to the union for a statement. A police career cut short, but Fuentes hopes not forever. The single mother of three says she hopes to use the experience going forward to fight for change.
I was very dedicated to my position at the Springfield Police Department. I'm a native of the city, and my heart is with the city. If I could get my job back, I'd go in there with my head high and do my job.
All right, so we had a female police officer who was on probation in her new position, and she's on probation. She had one strike against her. We don't know what that strike was. This was the second event. She posted her niece's picture, who went to some Black Lives Matter protest, and one of the signs that was held up is, "What happens if the murderer is wearing a badge? Who do you call then?" So she got a lot of flack. Police officers are posting on her social media anti-police sentiment. She says she was doing it to support her niece. She apologized and then took the apology down because she was getting threats. So she's out of a job. So the question is, should she have lost her job because fellow police officers felt uncomfortable and did not like the anti-sentiment repost that she did on social media? You know, I think it's kind of one of those things where, you know, in that line of work, police, if your team's kind of against you, it's kind of hard to do your job. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying she shouldn't get to be a police officer someplace else, but I don't know how she can really be a police officer in that community if she's lost the trust of the people she works with.
Well, no doubt that she would have a hard time working with the people that, were critical of her posting that in the first place, because, like you said, it is a type of job where, you know, you have to, your life is at stake. If the people supposed to watch your back, if they don't have your six, sorry, I just have to throw the cop lingo, if they're not watching your back, you could die. And I mean, we've seen in the past where there have been times where, I mean, you know, like Serpico, that he was a cop that famously was calling out the bad misdeeds of other police, of police corruption, and he, you know, he was in danger because of it. Now, this isn't, you know, calling it police corruption necessarily, but this is the kind of case where, the cops don't want to hear other cops say anything that they just think is derogatory towards the police department. And calling out bad cops doesn't mean you're calling out all cops, but I think that there's a problem, and people who are civilians see this with the police force, that the blue line of silence should not be there when there are cops that are doing the wrong thing. You're supposed to protect and serve the entire community, not just the ones that you deem that you should be doing it, and people are not to be have undue force used upon them in the course of action. Now, as a civilian, I don't know when you're I do know when you've crossed the line, but it's a fine line sometimes when somebody's crossed the line. And second guessing people that are in a dangerous profession, you know, that's a hard thing. I don't know what I would do, but I haven't been trained to do it, and I haven't. You know, sworn an oath to do it either. But as a person, I want to know that if police officers show up at my house because there's a problem, that they're not going to just like start beating the tar out of somebody.
Yeah, but that's not this issue. The issue was did the department have no choice but to fire her for posting something anti-cop? That's the issue.
Right. No, I know. But you also brought up, you know, would the person be able to do their job?
Would they be able to do their job based on the people they work with, not based on what we think about them? Based on
no.
So the question is: did they have no choice but to fire her? Yes or no?
Yes.
Joe says yes.
Do you think they had no choice?
Probation. It was a second infraction. You know, and it looks like she was going to be a problem. I mean, if that is your intention, you got to understand something. You are a public figure, like a teacher. It's the same thing as being a teacher, and you need to watch what you say, what you represent on social media. The same goes for a police officer. Okay, if you feel that you're strongly about that, you bring it up and work internally with the department on those issues. But somebody that's on probation, especially a section infraction like that, calling out the police department that you work on in regards to that, that is a problem.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about this? All the people, I'll just say, on the people on the right who like to scream about free speech, even though it's never a free speech issue, and this isn't a free speech issue, but this is usually right up their alley. They ain't saying shit about this. They got nothing to say about it. And I think she had every right to say it, but like I always say, you got a right to say it. It doesn't mean you're free from the repercussions that happen. You know, it seems like she's a dedicated police officer, but you're on probation. This is the second strike. You know what? People don't want to work with you. They kind of looking at you sideways. I got to let you go.
Listen, I had three weeks ago, and it was 10 minutes before show time, and we were doing all the chats with Facebook Live and stuff like that. It dawned on me that I had a shirt with the logo of my day program. I changed immediately because whatever I say, I don't want the logo of my day program because that could be construed with that, and they could have a problem with that. So I made sure that I changed that shirt because I don't want that, you know, the company emblems to be worn on me, basically, because I could maybe get fired if there's a comment that they don't like. With, you know, that I'm representing the company. She's representing the police with the comments. And in this day and age, that those comments can have repercussions.
Yep, I mean...
Well, why do you think that I'm Pip Helix? I mean, you know, there were definitely things that we'd say on this show...
To that point.
Where I would be in trouble and, you know, still not going... I don't want to go back in time and now reveal where I used to work, but there are policies in place where you're not supposed to do this and such. And so I was kind of living a double life, and, you know, it was dangerous because I definitely could have been fired for some of the things that we say on the show.
So then you have to affect me.
I'm sorry, Devin, you're getting stepped on.
It's all right. What I'm saying is, knowing what you've had to do, then you have to agree with Joe and I in that they had no choice.
Oh no, I do agree
okay.
that they had.
That's
no
what I'm
choice.
Trying to get out of you. You gave me a whole long thing, but I never got how you really felt about it. But okay.
Sorry, no, I do agree. I don't think that it you should not be able to voice those concerns, but I think that the way things go, you know, you're in a profession where you have to watch. You know, you have to depend on people to, you know, save your life, and if they have grievances against you because of your political postings, then you could lose your life. They had no choice. It's a dangerous issue.
And also the way the climate is now, a lot of projects I'm being involved with and know are making changes. One band logo is totally dropped. Album cover's dropped. Another one, if we restart the project, the logo is being changed. Another is taking a different tact on how they're presenting a whole network. So it even if you were, you know, you're extreme freedom of rights, freedom of free speech person, there with the way things are nowadays, you have to change the way you do business.
I look forward to the reissue.
I'm not thrilled about it, but it is what it is.
I look forward to the reissue of the classic Rotgut live at the Apollo. I look forward to seeing that album cover, the reissue.
You ain't fucking seeing that, brother. That's one of the comments.
I got the original. I'll put it right up. That is classic.
Now let me put this out. Now I've been trying to think about, like, with the Dick Eldorado character. I put another couple of posts, and I don't know where I want to go political or go silly or be middle of the road with the character, you know?
Go silly. Go silly. Go silly. There's so much political stuff out there, and you have an avenue, this show, to be political, and your comedy to be political. Go fucking silly. Just be farcical about it. Now, don't make fun of Texas Americans. Don't make fun of Texas Americans, because that would be offensive, and cowboy Americans.
Well, I had the 4th of July message, but it was upbeat, and it was kind of middle of the road. You know, and like I said, I want to have fun with the character, especially now, because basically, if I put the videos up, it's an escape. It's a silly character, you know, with nonsense and stuff like that. I want it to be silly just as an escape. Yeah, you're right. If I want to, you know, if I want to have a political agenda, you know, or say we have this show, God knows. I mean, we spent the first hour.
Yeah, that's why. Just have fun with it.
That's what the show's about, too, you know?
Have fun with it. That's my opinion. Have fun with it. You know what's funny? There are comics that we know that are friends with, and I'm going back to what I said in the first thing, it's like about all the hate they have. They no longer post anything funny. It is just constant fucking screed. And I know I get on my jags where I have like a bunch of political stuff, but if you notice, every day, and I've done this since January 1st, I got day whatever of the year. More often than not, that shit is funny and silly, and I still post funny shit. Cause, I mean,
because
we're comics, man. You don't want to, not everything has to be politics. That's why my advice to you, and it seems like you're going to take it, is you have other outlets to get your political rocks off. Keep it silly. The character was created silly. Keep it silly.
Even on my regular page, I'll, you know, have a lightning, you know, occasionally I'll have a lightning rod issue that I'll comment, and all hell is broken loose. 20 minutes later, there's a kitten.
Yeah.
You know,
you do a good job. You do a good job of mixing it up. You do a good job.
A deer.
You do a great job of posting an incorrect meme with spelling errors, and then posting, you know, one of your fake animals or real animals roaming around your house. You keep it friendly. You mix it up.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's move along. Twitch. Had you guys ever heard of Twitch before?
No, I had never even heard of it before.
That was a dance on the Flintstones, but no.
It's all the rave.
Do the Twitch in bedrock. No, I Twitch. Twitch is a thing that the kids like.
Well, it's not kids, but it's for online gamers. There's people our age, including one of your close friends.
Because my buddy's on that.
Yeah, of course he is.
Gamers, yeah.
So Twitch is
not a gamer, so.
Yeah. Twitch is a video streaming service popular with online gamers, has suspended an account belonging to the Trump campaign, becoming the latest tech platform to take action against President Donald Trump. In a statement provided to CNN, Twitch, which is owned by Amazon, said that hateful conduct is not allowed. In line with our policy, President Trump's channel has been issued a temporary suspension from Twitch for comments made on stream and on the offering content has been offending content has been removed, said Brielle Villablanca, a Twitch spokesperson. The content that Twitch said violated its policies on hate included a video of Trump's 2016 campaign rally in which he called Mexicans rapists and criminals. Video of that rally was recently broadcast on Twitch, the company said. Another video that Twitch said violated its policies was video of Trump's recent Tulsa rally in which Trump spoke hypothetically of a very tough hombre breaking into the house of a young woman. Twitch's decision came days after it said it was stepping up its efforts to combat hate and abuse on the platform. Listen, man, I applaud Twitch, and not just because it's Donald Trump. I applaud Twitch here because it's funny, today I on Facebook came a memory. And it was my Facebook memory was from 2014 when we did a story with the New York Post about all the filth and pedophilia and sexual and sex that was on Facebook, which violated their terms of service, and they were allowing it. So it's kind of ironic that this was today. Listen, you have terms of service. A couple of days ago, Twitch said we're cracking down on this, and then you do it. I applaud Twitch, and not because I want the president to be silenced out there. I don't believe that what Twitter says, well, because he's the president, he's newsworthy. Facebook says because he's the president and he's newsworthy. Nay, nay. If you have terms of service, and this is your company, we all abide by your terms of service. If we can't abide by your terms of service, then either you get rid of the content, you label the content, you suspend the account, whatever your policies are, we should all play by the same rules. And if you can't play by those same rules, if you can't abide by it, then this place is for you. Go to 4chan. They'll let you post whatever fucking thing you want to do. You're not going to have the it's true. You're not going to have the same broad audience. But you made the decision that you can't comply with the platform's terms of service. It's a company. They don't owe us anything. They're letting us use their platform for free. We saw when we checked the box, we agree to their terms of service. We agree to abide by the rules. So they're suspending him for 30 days. I wish Twitter and Facebook would step up their efforts with anybody who violates the terms of service. So I am actually, I support this wholeheartedly.
Agreed.
I don't. I think that basically what he said, they're labeling it hate speech, but he did not say that all Mexicans are rapists. He said there is a contingent out there that could be coming in this country that do have criminal records and that are rapists. He also mentioned a situation where there was a very tough hombre, but breaking into a house of a young woman. He was just stating incidences that happened. And those were Mexican. It's not hate speech. If he's making it up and saying that all Mexicans are like that, which he did not, then that would be a problem. So
I'll give you an example because this was my blog this week. Check it out on davincomedy.com. Basically, we are guests in Twitch's house. If I say, listen, guys, come on over to the party, have a great time, drink. Be merry. Just please don't curse. I don't like any foul language in my house. So you, as my guest, go, all right, I won't say fuck. I won't say shit. But then you say goddamn. You don't think goddamn's a curse. This is my house. I think goddamn is a curse. And there are comedy clubs, or at least there were, that wouldn't let you say goddamn. So that's why I'm using that. It doesn't matter what I think as the guest, that I don't think it's a curse. As the person who owns the house, their decision. So I understand your point, Joe. It's taken that, I don't feel it's free speech, and this is why he wasn't saying, I take your point, and I think it's kind of a gray area. But ultimately, I don't think it really matters what we think. And now, if enough people disagree with our decision to ban that type of thing, then enough people will either protest, and we will have to change our ways, Or the platform will fail, and that we live and die with our choices. So if enough people feel that you do that, as you do, Joe, that this was not hate speech, and it should be allowed, then Twitch will have to reverse course. But I don't think enough people are willing to die on the Mexicans are murderers and rapists hill. I don't think there's enough of those people. So I take your point, and I understand it, and I'm not saying your opinion is wrong. I'm just saying in this case, it doesn't matter, nor does my opinion, to be fair.
But do you think that if this is allowed to escalate, for example, Verizon, you have a conversation and Verizon decides they don't like your conversation, will they suspend your service because they don't like the conversations that you have?
But my terms of service does not include Verizon eavesdropping on my conversations. I am not using their service in an incorrect fashion. I have not signed something that says Verizon can listen to my conversations and make opinions on whether they like my conversations. Now, if I'm using their service to talk about pedophilia, for instance, as luck would have it, and I'm talking about creating a game and bringing some kids over to play the game and lures of doing inappropriate things, and I'm doing that on Verizon and the FBI's on to me, guess what?
Now, what would that game be called, for chance?
I don't know. You guys are the geniuses. You guys come up with a name.
I would think Kittens and
Candy. Candy and Candy?
Candy and Kittens.
Well, Candy and Kittens.
Correct, yes.
So, wait a minute. Wait, we went a step too far with inviting kids over to play.
Well, I mean, come on. They're going to want to
play.
They're going to want to play. They're going to want to play. But anyway, but what? My actions, my conversation saying, Pip is a twat, does not violate their terms of service.
That's a good name for a game.
It should.
But it doesn't. But it doesn't. Now if I say, I'm gonna break into Pip's house and I'm gonna take one of her cats and shove it up her ass and kill Pip and the FBI's on to me, guess what? Verizon can terminate my service. Because I'm committing a crime.
What did the cat do?
Yeah, really. Why did the cat have to go up my ass?
Listen, I thought the cat should die in a happy place. I thought the cat should die where it's happiest. But no.
Hold on. Being a twat is not a capital offense. I just want to put that out there.
No, it's not.
You.
It's not. But Joe would argue, well, if Hillary was president, it should be. But anyway, I digress. No, but Joe, you agree to terms of service. You can't violate the terms of service. And I don't know why Twitter and Facebook make these exceptions. Facebook would be a nuts. I mean, Twitter would be a much nicer place if they penalized everybody. Donald Trump constantly violates terms of service. And then they go on to, we're being stifled. Freedom of speech. Nay, nay. You use Twitter more than anybody, motherfucker. That's how you became president. If you constantly have to put hate or stuff that could be construed as hate speech out there, get a better fucking message. If that's how you can get Americans to vote for you, if that's the only way, if you can't talk about the economy, which your advisors are begging you to do, they're saying, please, Mr. President, talk about your strength as a businessman. Talk about the best economy America's ever had. Talk about how all the jobs, talk about the new jobs numbers. Please, Mr. President, do that. And he goes, nay, nay, I have some opinions about Bubba Wallace. Well, you know what?
But here's the deal. With all the tweeting Trump has done and is doing, Biden said he's going to counteract that. He said he's going to try to get down to the telegraph office at least twice a day.
I look forward to that. I am going to hook up my telegraph, and I look forward to reading those. Thank God it's not Morse code or smoke signal.
Now, that would just be racist.
That's a bridge too far. That's insensitive to our Native American friends.
Too much.
Too much. Listen, man, they're within their rights. They get to make the decision. They get to make, and listen, people bitch. I've been seeing this a lot lately about people bitching that Facebook is taking down things that shouldn't be taken down. And you know what? It sucks. And I've been there where they take, that doesn't violate terms of service. At the end of the day, I'm not paying anything for it. I'm not giving them any money. And I don't have any. I should not have any expectations of Facebook being on my side. Facebook is on Facebook's side.
Yes, absolutely, and yes, they do go. I don't know what kind of what they're using to try to patrol and see what is against terms of services. But I've had people on some political groups that I know, you know, they've all done time in Facebook jail because of various things that they've put up. Well, but there are also some very strange things that they've been in trouble for that I could not interpret. What, like a picture, I think, of a mouse, and I don't know what terms of service that violated.
I'll tell you. It was a titmouse. Thank you.
Boom.
Oh, fuck you. You try to improv a mouse fucking bit on the spot. Fuck you. Oh, you judge me.
It was good on the spot.
No, you gave me a ba-dump bump. Go shove that cat up your ass.
We know each other so well that I didn't make a face. I didn't say anything, but he knows I'm thinking to you.
I was. I knew, and I'm not going to have it, because none of you came up with something better. So, fuck yous. You can both see my fingers. I'm violating Zoom right here. Up your asses. Up your boom, boom, boom. Double fingers crossed.
He's violating Zoom.
He saw the brainwave.
I did.
Yes. Yes.
Really? I didn't say anything, but no, I did.
I knew.
You caught it. You heard those brainwaves.
That's how you know we've been doing this a long time. I guess, listen, my opinion, I'm going to ask you guys, I don't believe anybody should be above terms of service, even if they're the President of the United States or the leader of any country. I would say, especially if you're the President of the United States, work within the rules. You're a law, especially if you're the law and order guy, you can't even follow fucking terms of service, stupid.
Would you agree, though, with that statement that you would also agree that there has to be consistency into what they're regulating.
Absolutely. That's what part of what the article from 2014 in the Post was about. Where's the consistency? We've been screaming about that for years. Yes, this means making the president abide by the same rules as part of the consistency. None of this works if you got a liberal guy checking over here and a conservative guy checking over.
Because basically, look, yeah, it's their platform, it's their toy. However, I think there are a lot of decisions, ideological decisions being made over common sense decisions.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen. You have to listen. You have to be able to make an argument for why it can't. It just can't be because I feel. I can make the argument that Trump's statement is hate speech. I could also make the argument that Joe made. Well, it's not because this. I could go either way. All I ask from the platform is be consistent with it. If you're consistent right. with it, then I know what right. the rules are going in. He really has a clapper. Oh my god. Hey. Oh my
yeah.
god.
Let me explain myself, okay? I have two of them. I have one in my bedroom because it's easier to clap like Nana and turn the light off instead of fishing around for the thing. Now, in my office, I don't know, I might have to get the electrician because the light switch also runs the alarm system. And the alarm goes off if you hit the light switch. Get out of it. It sounds like the fucking Blitz if I fucking switch. So I just said fuck it and got the clapper. And let me tell you something. While we were getting set up, if the damn thing went out and I had a call, I go, I really need to get the electrician in and get this fucking thing taken care of.
That's hilarious.
Who
switch right by our front door that yeah. it operates the outlet across the room that we have the TV and the cable plugged into. So if you forget, because there's two of them, and one of them works the outside light, and if you forget and switch the other one, you turn off the TV for whoever was just watching it, and then yeah. it takes a while for the cable to reboot, and it's like a big pain in the ass. It's like, yeah. That was a good spot of the movie I was watching. And it's like, oops, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to turn off the outside light, but I didn't wire this place, so you can't yell at me.
All right,
yeah, and that's the thing, you know. Usually, I don't mind it. I go in the office, I do my business, I clap the light. But since we're doing the show, you know, if I move something or hit the fucking light goes out. I gotta clap like Nana to get the damn thing back on. You know what I'm gonna do?
Oh, please! I'm gonna say something to you when you see the disco lights going off because my laptop is flipping out and having a spasm. So I understand.
All right, let's move it along here. This is about New York State and penalties for traveling. Penalties, I say. New Yorkers who travel in states with high coronavirus infection rates will lose their COVID-19 sick leave benefits, according to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo signed an executive order on Friday saying that New York employees who voluntarily travel to a state with a positive test rate higher than 10% will no longer be eligible for benefits from New York's COVID-19 paid sick leave law. The order does not apply to people who are traveling for work. If we're going to maintain the progress we've seen, we need everyone to take personal responsibility. That's why I'm issuing an executive order that says any New York employee who voluntarily travels to high-risk state will not be eligible for the COVID protections we created under paid sick leave. According to data from Johns Hopkins, last update on June 28th, there's a bunch of fucking states that are, a lot of them are in the South and the Southwest right now. When this is, it's changed since this article came out. But basically, there's a lot of states with high infections. In March, Cuomo expanded paid sick leave benefits from New York employees who were quarantined as a result of the coronavirus who had to care for family member infected with COVID-19. The new law said that employees with more than 100 employees had to provide at least 14 days of paid sick leave and guarantee job protection for the quarantine's duration. Employers with 11 to 99 employees and employers with 10 or fewer employees and a net income of more than $1 million had to provide at least 5 days of paid sick leave as well as job protection. In addition to New Yorkers losing their COVID-19 paid sick leave benefits, after visiting high-risk states, any travelers arriving from states where the virus is surging have been ordered to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Early in the week, Cuomo, along with Governor Murphy of New Jersey and the Connecticut governor, implement the 14-day quarantine for travelers arriving from high-risk states. If the quarantine is broken, they can be fined more than $2,000. Let's see. New York is experiencing one of the lowest coronavirus related deaths and hospitalizations since the beginning of the pandemic in March. On Saturday, less than 1% of tests administered came back positive. However, cases are rising in, I think, 31 states today, including Arizona, California, Florida, Texas. Only two states, a couple of states are seeing their cases decline. That varies every day. New York and New Jersey are staying steady. They have been for some time, although New Jersey's starting to see a little bit of an outbreak. Let's see. Some states are rolling back their reopenings or pausing them. And, so we've had as many as 50,000 new cases in the past couple of weeks in this country. I think we had like a string like a 3 days in a row where we had like more than 50,000 new cases. Listen, man, like I said, we did the work. We did the work in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Bravo to Governor Cuomo. I say kudos. Now, I think there should be exemptions if you're like have to visit like a sick family member or something like that. I think you should still get quarantined when you come back, but I don't think you should lose your benefits if like somebody's on their deathbed. But yeah, if you just want to go and get away to Myrtle Beach, no, I don't think you should be able to come back with no problems.
I'm not really sure how.
Go.
Sorry. I'm not really sure how they're going to monitor people supposed to self-quarantine for 14 days. This seems like an overwhelming job to do that. But having said that, it also seems like an overwhelming job to try to monitor the reasons why somebody might have left the state and gone someplace else. And how would they know if you've done it over a weekend or something? I mean, this seems really hard to regulate.
It is very Big Brotherish. It is very, very Big Brotherish.
Well, yes, yeah. yes and no. Now, if you are not getting sick leave benefits, I feel it's totally Big Brotherish, and you have the right to make your own decision. Okay, if you are receiving benefits, then if you decide to leave the state, you lose those benefits, and the reason why is the state came and said, we will pay you for sick leave to stay. You're kind of making an agreement with the state to abide by the rules of containing the quarantine. So if you decide to leave the state and you are collecting those benefits, what the hell is the point of paying you these benefits if you're just going to gallivant out of state? You're not respecting what the state is doing, and you should have your benefits revoked.
Now, what do you do with people? I mean, really, a lot of this is the honor system. We know people that are coming in from Arizona, and they have to quarantine for 14 days. I mean, a lot of this is, you know, checking you at the airports, where you come in. You're not going to catch everybody. But I agree with the message. Now, people are going to say, yeah, they're trying to control everything. But again, man, we did the work. I know what it's like. I don't want to go back to the way it was. I want things to keep progressing. And I said time and again, if everybody would just wear their damn masks, you know, we could have school in the fall. You couldn't have indoor dining and bars, but you could have a lot more stuff than you have now. You might be able to have a ball game. You might be able to have an outdoor political rally if we just all agree to wear masks. You know, it's you're making a compact, and Joe brings up a good point. You're agreeing to take the benefits that us, the taxpayers, are all paying for. And you got to abide by the rules. When you put it that way, kind of makes sense.
Yeah. On that one, so the whole freedom thing is out the window on that. Basically, the you filed for benefits, the state is paying you benefits, and what the hell's the point if you're going to leave? Bullshit. You leave, you lose the benefits. You brought up a very good point, too. What if you have a relative that is passed away out of state or whatever? I have a coworker that lost a brother-in-law that she was very close to, and she wound up getting herself into such a tizzy, she wound up having a nervous condition where she wound up was out a couple of days, and she wound up not even going. It's a big consideration. If there was a loved one, you have to make a decision, a painful one, you know? And it's a decision a lot of people had to make. Like I said, Pip went through it with her aunt. I went through it with my aunt, you know, that, you know, we lost them and you have to go under certain conditions that back in February would be inane, but now it's commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we kind of support it, and I think we support it because we've all done the work, and we got hit hard, and we're still living it. So I people give Cuomo shit. Every day I feel very happy that I live in this state because I believe he's doing the best he can, and it's imperfect, to keep us safe, and I believe he's not taking pressure from the president. Open the economy, open up the schools. All in due time. That's why I'm somewhat optimistic. Schools will be open on some level sometime in the fall/winter.
Could he do it in a less hammy, condescending way? He's turning the press conference into fucking Hamlet lately.
What do you want? I mean, listen, he's acting against Trump. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? That's what the guy is.
I don't like being talked down to. I feel he's talking down to everybody.
No, he's talking down to the stupid people.
Yeah.
If you're not stupid and you haven't been stupid with this stuff, he's not talking down to you. He's talking down to some of our friends that don't fucking think this is real. That's who he's talking down to. He's not talking down to you, Joe. You fucking got with the program. He's happy with you. He doesn't like the way you vote, but he's happy with your approach to COVID-19.
No, he's not. No, there's a lot of things he's not happy, happy with me.
Yeah, but as far as COVID-19... He would support you. Now, some of your friends, our friends, who from day one have conspiracies and denials and this is the flu and them he's talking down to.
Yes.
You know, that is. But no, Joe, he's very happy with you. He told me so himself.
You didn't let him know. He's got to rename the old man's bridge, the bridge back to the Tappan Zee.
No, I screenshotted your post and sent it to him. He's well aware. he's thinking of a response.
That's the end of that, isn't it?
All right, let's quickly do drunks in the news.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, very quickly. Iowa became the first state in the nation to permanently allow bars to sell booze to go, a popular service that was supposed to be temporary to help bars and restaurants during the virus. Governor Kim Reynolds announced Monday that she signed The Benjamin Franklin dinking term is foxed. If you get fucked, like Joe was probably foxed this weekend at the compound.
Yeah.
Foxed.
Not as fucked as I usually get. To tell you the truth, I didn't even know we were going to do a sunrise call. I was even mental, like, yeah, we're not going to do a sunrise call. Then we watched a couple of movies. By the time we got out of the movie theater, it was daylight. So, sunrise call.
Yeah, lucky for you, sunrise comes early. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's see. So Iowa signed a bill allowing bars to continue selling alcoholic drinks for takeout or delivery for off-premises consumption. The bill, which went into effect immediately, was passed last month by wide margins in the State House and Senate. The Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. praised the state lawmakers for greenlighting legislation. Iowa's hospitality business have suffered a great deal to a harsh financial impacts of COVID-19, said Dale Swindrowski, who is vice president of Discus State Government Relations. Making cocktails to go permanent provides a much-needed source of stability and revenue for local bars, restaurants, and distilleries as they begin to recover. New York has also temporarily okayed the to-go hooch. The rule has been given multiple short-term extensions, and some lawmakers have proposed extending it several years to help the hospitality and industry business recover. Listen, my take on this is I like it for delivery. I like cocktails where if they're delivering them to you, I like that idea because that can help the business. I do not like the cocktails to go if I'm picking up because, to be honest, I'm going to be drinking in the car. That's what's going to happen. I have a very tasty ice-cold beverage. I'm going to drink in the car.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the same thing. However, what's the difference between you're getting beers at 7-Eleven? What's the difference between you getting something out of
open open container? You can get the beers at 7-Eleven. It's once you have an open container that's illegal. So that's what this is. You can't really close a sippy cup. You know, you have the they're going to put the lid on it. There's going to be a straw in there. Now you can make the argument, well, you have to put it in the back seat, but nobody said that. I haven't seen that anywhere where you can't have it, you know, where you can reach it. If you make that where you can't have it where you can reach it and nobody in the car can drink, okay. But if we can't do that, I don't like this at all.
You should have a sip of one of those adult beverages right now, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
No, I thought about that too. I was like, that's really tempting people to drink and drive. I don't mind the idea of them bringing it to my house. As a matter of fact, I would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
But if they would deliver, but yeah, you can walk out with your little, you know, cup with your straw already in it with your drink. I'm going to be drinking it too. I mean, you know, it's like it's right there in my cup holder. It's ready to go. It's too tempting.
I think we all agree then.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it does seem very tempting. I understand they have to support business, but I think it's at a risk. You know, we'll have to see. I mean, we'll have to keep our eyes on the DUIs in Iowa, seeing that they're going up. And if they are going up, they're going to have to relook this.
Well, we could look at it in New York, too. I mean, I guess, because we keep on getting it extended. Iowa just made it permanent. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Seems like begging for trouble.
We all have the same concerns.
Cuomo green-lighted that, to tell you the truth.
He wants to support business. He wants to support business. Listen, everybody wants to support business. I just, you got to put public safety ahead of, this from the pussy mask wearer. I understand. I'm a pussy like that. I worry about people's safety and everything. So if I'm going to wear a mask, I don't want to fucking somebody plowing into me because they had their daiquiri in their fucking hand.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just it, man. We all get it. If you have it and it looks so cold and delicious, you're gonna drink. Now you can say, it's just one drink, ba 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 on the way. That's not the point. We have laws for a reason. You can't be drinking in the car. It can't be an open container. Let's not forget about that shit. That's all. Have them deliver. And you know what? That's even better for business, because now you're paying the delivery guy. That guy should get tipped and everything. That guy has to fill up the car with gas and everything, so you're spending more gas and everything. The car's gonna need maintenance and everything, so you gotta go to the mechanic more. That's how you spur business.
Right, and also, if you get pulled over, if you didn't drink, have a sip. If you said, no, I'm not going to sip this at all, and you get pulled over, and it's an open container, and it's the law, well, I guess the cop would have to give you a breathalyzer or something like that, and see where if you're blowing a point in or something like that, I mean, that's the way you would resolve that. But I think it's inviting trouble. But and the other, I think it is inviting trouble. I mean, I realize you're running a bar, you're trying to run a business, but I think, I think it's at the expense of public safety.
All right, we all agree. Let's take our last break of the evening and come back with Scamming Scammers. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. We will be right back.